I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at dmelt57. The main account for the website is at 2ND City Hockey. I've got all my line mates with me this evening. We're going to do this mailbag episode. We've got a bunch of questions. This is probably going to be the least serious of all the least serious podcasts we've done because, well, the Hawks aren't playing anymore. We've talked about everything we can from the season, and there's really not much else left, so we turned it over to our beloved listeners to kind of steer the ship wherever it's going to go, and we'll find out where we're going to go as we get there. But let's bring in the usual crew up first. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name all of a sudden. That's very strange. But at first, the thing I want to say is that I hope they haven't melted into a puddle after their recent relocation. But it's the analytics darling of Second City Hockey on Twitter at Shepherd Price. Shepherd Price.
Hi, I'm still alive. It's a weird name to blank on. I 2 days after running a half marathon, I accidentally walked a half marathon in 96 degree weather in San Antonio. So that's going well.
How does one accidentally walk a half marathon?
I lost track of how much I was walking today, and I walked 13.9 miles.
Wow, overachiever.
It was accidental. I just don't have a Red Bull car.
And so it's 96 degrees. And what was the heat index? Like how humid are we talking? Like
it's a dry heat. It is not humid at all. This is not New Orleans. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well then that's nothing. Suck it up.
It is something. It's an oven.
I mean, I feel like, well, you know, I don't have Texas heat skin ever, but you know, I guess it is very early on in the process. So maybe you'll work your way up to,
yeah, that's something I'm going to have to adapt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Yeah. Good luck with that. I'll ask you about it when we get there in 2 or 3 weeks. But also with this evening, and he is to Second City Hockey what Christian Andreu is to Gojira. It is Mil Savic.
You know, I got to give a big shout out to Jimmy, the maker of lists. Friend of the pod, and for now friend of me, who brought me LeBron James chips, and we had an excellent conversation. So shout out Jimmy.
And by the way, while we're here, also you can find Mill on Twitter at Mill182. I forgot to mention that. But while we're here, a review of the chips, please.
Oh yeah, I mean they're just good, like straight up. Yeah. I don't have anything else to say. I'm not a connoisseur of of junk food. I just I like hot food, like hot snacks.
Like I sampled them as well, and they just tasted like cheddar and sour cream chips, but they just had a really strong kick at the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
But, nothing. You know.
Yeah, it was a good change up. Also with us this evening, you can't find her on Twitter, but she is at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR, and she is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text. It's Betsy.
I was like, Shay can't take my I hate the heat like mantle here, because it's I've lived in the South since I was in middle school, and there is just I haven't adapted to the humid heat very well. I just stay inside.
Oh, don't tell me that. Oh, no, I'm hoping to adapt.
No, I thought that was one thing we learned during COVID, kind of, that in the summer, everybody in the South, where it's ungodly hot and humid, they go inside in the summer because it's too hot and miserable to be outside. And that's why they had their COVID surges in the summer. And then up north, we had ours in the winter when we're inside because it's too cold. Isn't that how that works?
I've been told that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, people do spend time outside here, but it's like air conditioning is such like a fundamental like thing here that you like want to bask in it. like your car could be making the worst noise ever from your motor, but as long as your air conditioning, like if your air conditioning goes out, that's what will get you to go take it in to get it checked. I know this from fact, because I should have replaced a belt in my car for like a year, and then my air conditioning started to sputter, and I was like, okay, cool, I'll get two things done, but I wasn't about to go spend money until I might have to be in the heat driving around. The worst. So
I will say, like, I guess it's not as big of a thing here because it may not get quite as miserably hot in the summer here, but
no,
coming inside after on a hot day when it's, you know, the heat index is up around 105, 110, and you walk into an air conditioned building, that is top five feelings in the world, gotta say.
Well, Dave, we even watched the pay-per-view inside because it was so hot on Sunday.
I know, it was like 85.
Because I was thinking like, oh, maybe it'll be nice, and like, you know, it's like having a beer outside when it's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just like, nope, it's way too fucking hot outside.
Yeah, the problem, if you have the beer outside and then you immediately start sweating, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Exactly.
Well, you know that it's like humid here when you get out of a car and you're wearing glasses and your glasses immediately fog up.
That's true.
To me constantly. Sometimes you'll get condensation just running down your windows because it's so hot outside and wet, but so cold inside.
Granted, that also happens when you have a mask on with glasses.
I've had that happen with condensation on the windshield before. So yeah, I know what you mean.
You should, depending on what kind of mask you get, and you have to like tilt your glasses a certain way and it won't happen.
Yeah, my brother taught me that, but I only wear my glasses when I need to because like I don't like wearing them all the time. So I was like just being stupid.
I like wear glasses more now since the pandemic because why waste putting in contacts? And now that I'm required to like interact with people again professionally in person, I'm still wearing glasses more and more.
That's okay.
Return to the office.
All right. Well, since we got all our usual shenanigans out of the way early on, well, I guess real quickly, we could do a Stanley Cup playoff thoughts. Over under 10 goals a game average in the Oilers Avalanche series, because I'm going over.
Over.
Anyone want to take the under? I feel like the next game is going to be like 1-0 now because I said this.
That was a fucking ridiculous game.
That game was wild. Like, the Avalanche should have run away with it, and they didn't, like, till the like at the end.
It was like, Mike Smith sucks, and then it's just like, hey, the Avs aren't doing much better.
Hey, Avs lost their goaltender.
That's true. But I'm just saying, like,
I'm not sure they had a goaltender to begin with.
Yeah, the Avs were, like, completely smoke show. Like, the Oilers only had, like, what, 2-3 shots in the first period? But, yeah, I mean, Darcy Kuemper turned back into a pumpkin. That seems to be a theme these playoffs, because that same thing happened to Markstrom. I've never seen a fall from grace quite that big.
You know, I had a thought as I was watching Colorado, and I think I answered it myself, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but my thought was, Boy, I wonder what this Colorado team would be like if they had a goalie. And I think the answer is the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Not far off. I think, honestly, if Tampa Bay doesn't win the cup, I'll be really surprised.
Yeah, I'll be pretty ecstatic because that's who I picked in the bracket challenge.
Well, Vasilevskiy is just like a fucking unbelievable. I mean,
you know, I don't know. This year's Tampa Bay kind of reminds me of the 2013-14 Blackhawks. They're obviously a really good team, but for some reason they're not playing as well as either the last 2 years, but for the Blackhawks it was the 2 years on either side.
Right.
And their goalie had to carry them a lot more. I don't think, like, honestly, the Leafs were better than Tampa, and Florida was arguably playing slightly better on the, like, but obviously Bob was terrible and Vasilevskiy was the difference. And I think that was the true of Corey Crawford in 2014. I think the Blackhawks were good, but he's what ultimately earned them any of the wins that they had.
You know what's super impressive about that too is he plays so many games and it like doesn't wear on him. Like Markstrom played like 55 games and he turned into like a fucking cardboard cutout. But like Vasilevskiy's like, no, I'll just start 70 games or whatever and win them all. It's fine.
Markstrom went full shooter tutor, I believe.
Dude, the fucking the state of the Calgary Flames, that was a disappointment. Now, I don't like have feelings for Edmonton one way or the other, except for their ugly ass jerseys, but the Flames were like, oh, like they're decent. And then it's just like, no, they're not.
I don't know why I hate the idea of the Oilers winning with the team that they have, because it's not a good team. They just have two of the best players in the league. That's just, and they face terrible goaltenders.
It would really,
It is a bad team.
It would really put a big dent in my campaign against the Hawks tanking for Connor Bedard if Edmonton, affect, you know, all the tanking they've done to get Connor McDavid pays off and they win, God forbid, you know, win the cup this year.
Connor McDavid's like once in a quarter century.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think Bedard is closer to Connor McDavid or Nathan McKinnon?
Well, probably more McKinnon than McDavid, because McDavid's like, you know,
yeah, so
just an unbelievable talent.
McKinnon can't take over a game. I mean, he's great, but he can't take over a playoffs the way McDavid can.
Nobody can skate like McDavid.
Sorry, Shay, I think we cut you off.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I think McKinnon's like arguably the second best forward in the NHL.
Yeah, so do I, but it's still like a decent.
Oh, trust like, me, I'm not saying that if the Hawks end up with Connor Bedard, I'd be upset. Like that'd be great, but it's the method by which they acquire him that could discourage me, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, I would put it more the case that Colorado would, like, Nathan McKinnon still needed a better Colorado team to make it past the second round.
Yeah, and Rantanen and all them, they don't have a Draisaitl, you know.
Yeah, and like Edmonton played again the worst goaltenders in the West, and Quick, unfortunately for him. And then again, Markstrom just died. I don't know what happened to him. And it wasn't just that McDavid and Draisaitl were good; he looked terrible.
He got like dysentery and died like in the game. Also, let's be very fucking clear about the Pacific. That division sucks.
It's true.
Can confirm. Yeah, so can Shay.
Sorry, yeah. Shay. But like, I'm just saying, like, Calgary looked really good, and then it was like, oh, well, look who they played all year. Mm-hmm. It's like the Sharks, or like, you know, the Canucks.
I still think
if the Knights were healthy.
If the Flames had gotten just league average goaltending, they would have beaten the Oilers in multiple games. Like, that's the that makes a huge difference. Markstrom put up like sub-900 numbers, which
he disappeared.
He's never done. I think somebody was saying he'd never had like a stretch in the last like 4 or 5 years of like four more games under 900. And then he had like all of them in the playoffs.
You know what Markstrom did? He's like Spider-Man when he's like, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. And he starts disappearing.
Just a bad look. Poor,
yeah.
Poor all right. We've got a Spider-Man reference. It's time to bring. let's get to these questions, because I just want to say to everyone that sent us a question off the top, thank you very much, because I do enjoy conversing with the three people in this group, it was I enjoy knowing that other people are listening to this and interacting with it in whatever way they can. So if you send us a question, thank you. And hopefully we'll get to all of them. Let's start off with a less serious one. And we're going to start with a question from another friend of the show, Lou, who's Lou A. Villa on Twitter. It's best songs you would add to the in-game experience and situations you would like to see a song played after. An example is KRS-One's Sound of the Police, played when a penalty is called against your opponent. I think another situation like this is, I believe they used to play Breaking the Law by Judas Priest whenever someone would take a penalty at Hawks games. And they would play Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine when the Hawks would go to the power play. So do you have any additions or subtractions in that realm? And whoever's got one, just start yelling them at me.
I mean, I would overhaul the... Oh, go ahead, Shay. You go first.
I really like the Avalanche's Mario sounds that happens after they get the guy out of the box after a penalty kill.
Oh, yeah, the mushroom effect?
Yep.
I guess that's what I'll call it. Everyone knows what it is that grew up in the 90s and 2000s. Mill, this is music, so I heard your voice briefly.
Well, obviously, like, a lot of the aggressive styles of music, I think, are good for hockey. But I think while the Hawks are bad, they should go back to individual goal songs like they used to. So, yeah. It'd be fun. Like, you know, like, 88 by Sum 41 for Kane. Or, like, because, you know, Rock You Like a Hurricane's old. Or, like, Mr. Jones for Seth Jones, not Caleb ever. but... You know, I really also think if they get good with young guys, you got to bring back Youth Gone Wild for Taking the Ice. Like, make it fun.
Yeah, I will say one of my favorite things about baseball is the walk-in sounds, the fact that they get to choose theirs, because Bill and Cease walking into, like, what, Megan Thee Stallion will never not be funny to me.
Yeah, it's like more personal.
Dylan Cease also looks like the lead singer of every hardcore band ever.
Dylan Cease looks like he should be playing baseball in, like, the 1960s.
Yeah, too. Betsy, did you have anything to add to this list? Because I have a follow-up question I'm going to ask you first.
No, because most of the music I like is pop music, and I'm not sure. It lends itself to sports if you pick the right songs, but sports fans do not embrace pop music.
So what you're saying is there's not a good Taylor Swift song for a hockey game.
It was funny. They ran a... Stanley Cup ad using her Blank Space song, and it went really it made sense for the ad, and people in the comments were pissed. They were like, this is a stupid song for this, and yet it was like the most shared NHL spot ever on Instagram and TikTok, you know.
Of course,
it essentially reached more people just using that one song, and I'm like, do you not want to grow the sport?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
Mill's about to jump in reference the I Prevail cover of Blank Space.
No, but I was going to say, actually, we got offered to open for them and I turned it down because of that. I prefer It Prevails. But in all seriousness, there's old games on YouTube I've watched with the Hawks in the early 90s, and there would be breaks where the puck goes out of play and the organ player would start playing New Kids on the Block songs. So, like, that's not, like, to me, I'm okay with the pop. I just mean, like, I think the more aggressive styles fit the game more than the culture.
I can understand that. I mean, like, baseball has a more chill, like, there was a video recently of, like, it wasn't baseball, but it was football, the entire stadium singing Mr. Brightside by the Killers. And they just, like, cut out in the middle and the entire stadium just continued singing. Oh, and I was like, that is such not a sports song, but, like, there's, like, a nostalgia factor. I think that they could hit with millennials with.
Well, they're doing that in Colorado. I think during the third period of every game, they're doing All the Small Things by Blink-182.
Pick a better song by Blink. Oh, by the way, today's 23 years that Enema of the State came out.
And nobody likes you when you're 23.
Nope. Yeah.
But I just want to throw out there, too, like with the pop stuff, Anthony Rizzo used to come up to Bad Blood by Taylor Swift.
Great song.
I will say that, like, when the score is 2-2, not a bad time to play I'm Feeling 22 by Taylor Swift.
And well, also, I would say that would have been Carpenter's song if he was still here.
Yeah.
And also, tweet that out for him.
When the score is the home team down 2-3, then you can play Nobody Likes You When You're 23.
Oh, yeah. I just think there's enough millennials in the fan base now that you could get away with playing pop music, whether it's current or slightly nostalgic.
Like emo night music.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's what it is.
You're absolutely right, Mill.
I hosted an emo night last summer, and like, it's so easy to make drunk people that are like in their 20s go crazy.
Yeah, you could play, you know, everyone knows Ohio Is for Lovers by Hawthorne Heights.
Or like Fall Out Boy hit or whatever the fuck.
I'm just trying to think of moments in hockey that or would be like specific to that, and I'm disappointed that I don't have any good answers. So sorry, Lewis, but
the Rage Against the Machine ones, it was always a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one for sure. You know what?
When you finish a penalty kill, killing in the name of?
No, when you start the penalty kill.
True.
Yeah. And I don't know if they still do that, but they should. Moving on, though, kind of related to that, just a follow up. And I'm going to give you the option. You can either pick the song that's played when you score a goal or your walk up song in baseball or both if you have answers for each. Betsy, go first.
Okay, so walk up song, like if it was a baseball song?
Yeah. You can do one. You can do either one or both if you want.
Oh, man.
What song do you want playing when you come to the plate?
Or when you score a goal.
Or, huh? when you score a goal in your professional hockey career.
It's going to be a Kesha song.
There you go.
Do I want it to be low or do I want it to be off her album that's like, Woman. I would want Woman to play.
Okay.
You guys know what that is.
Mill, what about you?
So my goal song would be Brohim by Pennywise because it's the easiest song for ever.
Come on. It's the Flyers.
Come on, man.
You're stealing that from the Flyers.
But it's the best sing-along song. Yeah. And I like punk rock. Well, I mean, fuck. Then how about Face to Face? What the fuck was there? The one that's like kind of the sing-along one too. I'll do Face to Face, Disconnected. Anything that has a big crowd sing, because like it's cooler than like the, it's like people like Chelsea Dagger because they can sing along to it, yeah. But it has more of a drivey like drum feel to it, so it's more like energetic. That's the whole thing for me. But for baseball, I'd probably want like Summer Wind or something super chill.
Shay, what are yours?
Walk up song. Is look what you made me do by Taylor Swift.
That almost sounds like it'd be better as a goal song just by the title.
True. And then the other one that's in contention would be probably literally anything by Churches. I'm a big Scottish band person, and those are some of my favorites.
Hey, Dave, before you give yours, I'm changing my goal song. Kurt Angle's theme song. So everyone can yell you suck at the other team.
Okay. I guess we'll allow it. I couldn't think of a good goal song, but I had this conversation with my brother several years ago and we have a go-to answer. The walk-up song is Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits. So that's Sutton Stone.
The Sultan of Swat?
So, yeah. Colossus of Clout. Yeah, I don't know. Goal song. I just want to say Deadbolt by Thrice, but that's not really a sing along song. But that's
I mean, it is if you go to a Thrice show.
Yeah, it is. and we had Jimmy actually a friend of the show referenced earlier. Jimmy asked if we have entrance music or finishing move, but I feel like there's enough overlap there that we're gonna throw that under the same umbrella.
Well, just so Jimmy knows, my entrance song is Straight from the Path, Fortune Teller. So there you go. Okay. And I do a springboard bulldog. I have that planned out for my pro wrestling career.
All right, let's get – I got one Hawks-related question, and I'm going to apologize in advance because I may say this name wrong. It's Sideg Puri, one on Twitter, wants to know. The Hawks head coach selection process, there's names floated out there of coaches with no behind-the-bench experience. I think we need a guy with at least some with at least an assistant NHL coach credibility. What do you think? I will start by saying if they're going to hire a coach with no NHL experience whatsoever, they better get it right. And that is because the last coach they hired with no NHL experience ended so poorly. Excuse me. Because that ended so poorly, I think they have to go with someone that does have NHL behind the.
Yeah. They'll be going with someone with NHL experience.
Mill and Betsy, what about you two?
Yeah, no way. They got to get somebody who knows a little bit about the league.
I am not that hung up on NHL experience. I prefer it, but there's a wide difference between what Jeremy Colleton was, who had very little coaching experience in general. And he only had like three or four seasons under his belt in a mostly lower league in Sweden. Like, you could pick some guys who at least have North American experience before doing that. Or get some of the best at international,
I'd take the Finnish head coach.
Yeah, there's a couple of like international coaches that I think probably would translate. It's a risk, but less of a risk than Jeremy Karlsson. I don't want to always compare lack of NHL experience to him because I just think that was such an extreme. But I mean, also Derek King didn't have any NHL experience and he is also bad. So maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
want, yeah, that was, I felt like that was just more the convenience of him than anything else, but Milt, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, he's nice guy.
I don't necessarily think they need to get an old Canadian guy who's like nude and red all the time and like yelling. I just mean like, you know, they need to get somebody who has a clue of what's going on. I mean, if it's not NHL experience, that's fine. But like that Jeremy Colleton experiment, like it gave me gray hair. So like, come on.
Yeah. And I think also because you have like, because you have a first time GM, I feel like having a NHL experience coach would offer more, a little bit more, inspire more confidence in myself and maybe in other people who are listening to this than me. So
I think it's time for me to advocate for my favorite head coaching choice again. Rocky Thompson has been a NHL assistant head coach several times with both now the Oilers and the Sharks. He's led teams to the Calder Cup final in the AHL. He's good with young players. He's good with defense. He's perfect for the job, IMO.
Sure, okay. Let's go with that guy.
Yeah, here's my only beef with Rocky Thompson, because the team he used to coach was the Chicago Wolves, and that's where he had his most success in the AHL, I believe. Did he have success anywhere else? Because if he did, I will retract the statement. But
oh yeah, Dave's enemies with the Wolves
now. Yeah, yeah, they're on the list now. But
because
the Chicago Wolves are winning the under 23 league.
He won the Memorial Cup with the Windsor Spitfires.
Okay, he's had success elsewhere. I'll give him that. So, you know, that wouldn't be the worst one. That sounds like a coach who has paid his dues. He's worked his way up. He's got the experience under his belt. May not be the bad. And I know you've been beating that drum for a while, Shay, so I will give you full marks if that's the way they end up going.
Would you guys ever want to bring back somebody like
Kevin Dineen?
Oh.
Nah, I think he worked better in the Q system. I don't know if he could. I mean, we'll see. But
if he does the Q system.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can run that system successfully, then bring him in. But I just.
Yeah, I know. I saw some people on Twitter being like, well, they could bring him back because he is very good with young players. But he also has most of his success in the AHL. So is he just going to be another coach that only can coach down there?
So does most of the Hawks roster have most of their success in the AHL. So they have that in common.
I don't know. Not how many of them have actually been in the AHL because they like to skip that process.
Yeah, that's true. They like to fucking piss us off and feed us Gustavson.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Sorry, I was not helping you out there with that question.
All right. So the other, we got a few minutes here before our quick timeout. So I wanted to get to a few questions. Still JimL23, frequent to SCH commenter, asked, 36 questions. And we appreciate every single one of them, Jim. I swear. But I was trying to find one real quick that we could get to. I guess here's a really quick one. Should Dylan Strome be re-signed? Excuse me.
Yes.
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 Should Alex DeBrincat be traded?
No.
No.
Should Patrick Kane be re-signed if he wants to continue to play here?
Sure.
Yes, at a lower AAV.
Yeah.
All right, we got three of them. 33 more to go.
Hell yeah.
But yeah,
you're all yes or no questions. We can do that.
Yeah, we can do this. I like
how we're all on the same page. Like I didn't read those questions before, and we all just like, yeah.
You know what? I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick time out here. We got some more questions to get to, and we're going to come back to them on the other side of this break, including some more from Jim. So we'll take a quick time out and come back for that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison, and we got some more mailbag questions to get through. Some from still JimL23 at Second City Hockey. Some from Twitter's. They're just all over the place. So we're going to dive right back into them. One of the ones from Jim that I wanted, not to be confused with Jimmy, as you guys mentioned in the break, still JimL23's question. He asks, he said he confessed that he's lazy, so he asked to help him out. Who are some of the potential free agents that they can sign to cheap one-year deals to be flipped at the deadline, such as a Matthias Janmark and Lucas Wallmark from 2021? So this page that I have open here, I have the top 25 unrestricted free agents sorted by their cap hit this season. So basically, I'm just going to fly through all these names real quick. We're going to skip number six on this list because it's Marc-Andre Fleury, and we talked about him last week. I guess it'll be the combination of whether or not they'll actually be a free agent that the Blackhawks can sign, and if any of them would be intriguing prospects to any of the people listening to sign and potentially flip. So let's run down the list. Here's some names for you: Evgeny Malkin, PK Subban, Claude Giroux, Phil Kessel, Chris Letang, Patrice Bergeron, Johnny Gaudreau, Alexander Radulov, Louis Erickson, Philip Forsberg, Nick Leddy, Anton Strahlman, Andre Palat, Max Domi, Nino Niederreiter, Riley Smith, Danny DeKeyser, Andre Burakovsky, Vincent Trocheck, Calvin DeHaan, Nazem Kadri. And then there's a few more goalies that we're going to skip just for, it's actually Mikko Koskinen and Darcy Kemper, who could be playing against each other tomorrow night. And then back on the list, Ryan Strome, John Klingberg, Joss Manson, Olli Maatta, Victor Rask, and David Perron. Any of those names sound interesting to you? Because that's your free agent class right now as it stands. And obviously some of those players could agree to terms and never even hit free agency. I think Johnny Gaudreau has already said he doesn't want to leave Calgary. So
nobody wants David Perron here.
No, absolutely. Fuck David Perron. No way in hell.
Andre Burakovsky is only 27. I'd consider him.
Burakovsky is one that I was intrigued by. Philip Forsberg. Like, here's the thing.
I don't think most of those guys would sign a one-year deal.
No.
That's true.
That's the thing.
Like, I was thinking, like, Nino, but he's not going to sign a one-year deal. Why would he do that?
Yeah, you might need to go down into the next group of players to find some of those. So let's explore these while we're here. Justin Schultz, Colin Miller, Ricard Raquel, everyone's favorite, and Nikita Zadorov. Paul Stastny, Will Butcher, Andrew Kopp, Thomas Greiss, Ben Chirot. Chirot, thank you. Alex Edler, Chris Tierney, Dmitry Jaskin, Antoine Roussel. Absolutely not Antoine Roussel. Fuck that guy. Jay Beagle, Ian Cole, Marcus Nudavara, if I'm saying that right. Andreas Athanasiou, Frank Vetrano, Valerie Nichushkin, Thomas Hickey. Out of all those names I've read, Athanasiou is one that I remember that, like, you could sign him and he could, like, you know, have a shooting percentage bump and maybe get, like, be on pace for like a 20-25 goal season. And maybe you flip him at the deadline for a third or fourth round pick. Like that's if you were looking for like a Matthias Janmark type, seemed to be in that mold. He did have a 30 goal season with Detroit back in 18-19. So there's one for you. And Andreas Athanasiou, any of those other names intrigue anybody on the panel here?
Not for this situation for me. There's guys I like, but not for this.
I just don't think you're going to get much for anybody being flipped.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like if you had a good team and you needed to add some guys, that's one thing. But like Betsy said, like there's not a lot of value there.
Yeah, I think that's why all these guys are free agents. Well, there is one who did not come up on that list because he's a restricted free agent, but someone you could sign for a one-year deal. Hope he improves and then flip him at the deadline. That's Dominik Kubalík.
So yeah, but if they're not the rumor is that they don't, Davidson doesn't want to sign Strom. Why would you sign?
He doesn't want to. I was right not to have any faith in him.
Well, if that one moves Senge over the edge, I don't know what to tell you, Shay, but there was.
Dylan Strome was very good this season. It was very clear to pretty much everybody that he was very good this season.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you on that point. I'm just like, if that's, I think you have to give Kyle Davidson a bigger scope of criticism or praise than that, I would say.
Because he's wasting an asset that's very valuable.
I don't know how very valuable.
I think you could get a lot of things for a young center who can actually play second or third line minutes.
Oof. Yeah. I feel like if they could have, they would have moved him at the deadline because they moved Brandon Hagel.
Yeah, but Hagel was worth more than Strome at that time because unfortunately, because of usage issues,
yes,
Strome's value was at a low. So what you do is you at least sign him to another year, build his value back up, which is exactly what you were saying with Kubalik. I wouldn't mind doing either one of those things. It's just that like Davidson seems to want to like just cut and run from that situation, which I think is kind of dumb. It's poor asset management. I mean, I know it's not his original like trades and stuff, but you should try. If they could have gotten at least a third, that would have sucked, but that was better than nothing.
Letting him walk in free agency.
Yeah, his qualifying offer.
Better than nothing.
His qualifying offer is 3.6. If you could get him to sign a 2-year deal and get that down to like 3.2, like a show me deal, and then he'll be a UFA after that, so that works for him. Because if he does well, he'll get a payday in unrestricted free agency, and the Blackhawks maybe can flip him before then, and then a team getting him can either have him on a 2-year deal, so it's a little bit more secure, or you know, he'll be a rental the next year and it'll be fine. You know, like there's so much more interesting things than you can do. The worst thing that happens is that he's not good next year, but the team isn't planning to be particularly good anyway. So what does it matter?
Yeah. The one thing I will say about like next season in particular, in regards to the salary cap, like there's no reason to worry about the salary cap next season. Cause it's not like the Hawks are going to be contending for the cup.
No.
And they're going to work. Like who gives it, if they sign a guy to a 1-year deal for $7 million and maybe he's only with 4 or 5, but they had to give him 7 to commit to a 1-year deal. That's fine. It's not going to hurt them in the long run.
If the Hawks are smart, they're going to take on a bad contract and rob somebody of a high prospect or a like high pick.
They should be doing what teams did to the Hawks for the,
that's exactly
prior.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like they, like that's how you get better in this league.
Yeah. And actually that's a perfect segue, Mel, into a question we got from Matt DeMichael 93 on Twitter. Said, would a trade for Minnesota Wild forward Kevin Fiala and a third round pick for taking on Alex Goligoski's contract be something worth looking at? Or maybe send over the rights to Kubalik or Wyatt Kalinick. Now, I think that might be a little optimistic in regarding the package you could get from Minnesota to take on that contract. And it's also within the division, so I don't know if Minnesota would want to do that. But I think the general theme of taking on another player's contract and getting a prospect as a thank you for that. Are there any other players that you can think of that any contracts out there to be taken on by the Hawks in the summer?
Didn't they just sign Goligoski like in March? Why would they trade him?
That's
a good question.
I'm looking that up right now.
I feel like they signed him this year to like a smaller cap hit.
Yeah, two years, $4 million contract. I don't think that one is going to be
a
contract for them. But the general theme of just are there other players out there to be? Yeah, and
Phil Kessel, but the Coyotes need somebody to reach the cap floor.
Yeah. Kessel's there to eat hot dogs and cash checks.
What about Rick DiPietro? Is he still around?
No, I think his contract might have finally expired.
Damn, that means we're old.
You could probably just go to Cap Friendly and look at popular buyouts to see who fans like want to see the like Zach Kassian.
I can't handle that though. Elon Lucic. I'll take Lucic. I won't take Cassie. He's better than Cassie.
You'd only take Milan Lucic because he's a fellow countryman, right?
No, what? He's old and slow. He probably won't even play a lot because Zach Cassian will play more and get into trouble.
Yeah, why is John Cassidy a popular buyout?
Where do you see the popular buyouts tab? I missed. Oh, duh. I see it. It's at the freaking homepage in giant letters.
No, I'm just joking. Milan Lucic and Zadorov are made to be on the same team.
Well, the one name I will say that I've heard on the Live from the Five Hole podcast drop this was Peter Mrazek from Toronto, which is the top name on the popular buyout list.
Sure. I mean, they'll probably play him anyways. The Hawks, I mean.
I mean, they need a better veteran backup.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
His cap hit is like 3-something, like 3.5, 3.9.
That's not even that bad for the Hawks next year.
Yeah, no, that would totally be fine. What would you get for taking that?
Matthews.
At least the second.
The good Nylander.
Yeah, I'll take him.
I'm trying to think of what their B-level prospects are that aren't like their very, very top guys. I'm not as familiar with their system, honestly.
No, and honestly, I didn't think Toronto had a very good system because all of their good players are at the NHL level, and then they've traded away all their prospects over the last few years to try and restock
them. They have a couple of good guys.
Yeah, but they don't have any B people, I think. I think they have a few people they'd consider A's.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Robertson, but they're never going to do that. I think the next one would be Rodon Amarov. How do you say his name? Dude from Russia.
Yeah. He's having. Doesn't he have brain cancer right now? Or something going on with his brain?
I'm not going to lie, I do not know. Oh, sad. Hope that. They have the dude from Minnesota. Nice. How do you say his name? K N.
Nice, but. Yeah, he's an A.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's really hard to figure out. He's a lower A, I think, but he's still an A.
Yeah, he's their lone A.
And Rodion Amarov was diagnosed with a brain tumor in February, and he's undergoing treatment. There hasn't really been an update, but it sounds like he's doing okay.
I hope the best for him.
An article from April 2nd of this year that Elliot Friedman reported that he'd wrapped up his 6 weeks of chemotherapy and has another round forthcoming in the month. So it sounds like he's going through that right now. And yeah, we hope it goes away for him and he has a long, healthy career, maybe even in Chicago.
Is William Nylander the only son that's not garbage son?
The Tkachuk boys aren't bad.
I like the Tkachuks, but they definitely are knuckleheads, you know?
Josh Cal Manson. Foot. I was going to say Josh Manson, but he's not very good.
I think Foot's a garbage Connor Murphy. Son.
Connor Murphy.
Yeah, but his dad only played three games, didn't he?
Yeah.
Connor Murphy's our good son. Okay, well, that's enough for me. Well, also, don't trade Wyatt Kalinuk. That's my boy.
Yeah. All right. I think we've hit on that topic plenty. Let's see. We got what else we got on the hit list here. Oh, here we go. Here's a fun one. This might be only for me because I shouldn't say only for me because I'm not a fan of the team in the middle here. But this is a very Chicago sports one. It's from Sean, who's at CelticSean418 on Twitter. Bears, Cubs, or Hawks, who is more likely to do their rebuild right? the more likely is none of them. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably lean towards the Bears because I think they have the quarterback, and that gives them a head start on the other two.
Well, here's the thing. The Cubs will have one good year, and then everybody will be up, and they'll trade them all again.
Yeah.
So, it's not that they don't have talent. It's just that their owner's an idiot who won't keep them. The Bears might be all right.
And sometimes it feels like the Hawks' run of success in the 2010s was just they just hit 21 on blackjack 36 times in a row and got this incredibly good team, and now they're back to the mediocrity that they were beforehand. But I would probably lean towards the Bears myself, but also that's ignoring 40 years of ineptitude by that franchise. So pick your poison, Sean. They all suck. Sorry.
I'd go Bears too as a betting man out of those three, but you know what I always say, go Bulls.
Shay or Betsy, did either one of you have thoughts on that one? I know Betsy is the diehard Bears fan. I'm sure you did.
I have no opinions on those other teams.
Shay, what about you as the resident Detroit Lions fan?
Yes, I was going to say the one I'm most actively rooting against is the Bears. Because I want our rebuild to go better than yours.
Good draft.
Yes. I'm going to say, just because I'm an optimist and this is the team I care about in this list, the Blackhawks.
There we go. Optimism. Take. Yeah. It's just, I think if, like, honestly, if I had to really, like, I feel like I might lean towards the Cubs if I was had to pick out of that three, because I'm...
Don't do it.
They, I mean...
Yeah, the Cubs. The Cubs, you talk about decades of ineptitude with the Bears. The Cubs have centuries of ineptitude.
Yeah, but I think, like, they brought in, like, the guy who was doing all the rebuilds in baseball, and he still has...
those. Isn't Theo gone, though?
Yeah, but he still has his, like, his some of his minions are still around.
Boyer's there still, but the
so,
thing...
like with the Blackhawks, like, you know, I know this is the calling card for all the the meatballs in the fan base to yell, but it, like, Mike Smith and Dale Tallon built the Blackhawks dynasty, and then Stan Bowman kind of guided it to the probably more to the second and third cups with some moves here and there. But the guys who's like picked and selected and developed the talent, I feel like there's no remnants left from that regime. So that's why I don't have. I don't have positive or negative thoughts, but I don't have reasons to be optimistic.
The biggest problem with baseball is that the owners, no owners besides the Dodgers want to pay anybody.
Yeah, well that's a whole nother conversation that.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm not even a Cubs fan, and I'm still mad about that. So.
Well, right, because it's bad for baseball. Like the Cubs did a rebuild, and then the Sox like actually let somebody who knew what they were doing start rebuilding. You know what I mean? Like it was good for the city.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah, because I'm worried it's going to come to the South Side if they ever. Well, fuck, they got to get to a World Series. They got to get to the playoffs first.
Don't manifest
playoffs?
That.
They got to get to the.
They can win a series.
Division title.
Yeah. Don't manifest that for yourself. Just think good thoughts.
It took till the ninth inning to score a run on the Cubs Sunday.
Yeah, let's run the hell away from that topic because I'd rather talk about the Blackhawks and the White Sox right now.
Yeah,
that's
literally literally anything else.
You guys don't want to talk about the Meatball World Series?
No, I don't, Mel.
Where everybody's just arguing.
Hey, Series that's coming? That's going to be all New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's. I'm going to get back to the Jim L23 list because that's more fun.
Let's go, Jim.
Number four on his list. This is a good one. What players in Rockford can we realistically expect to be playing regularly in the NHL next year? Not even part time guys. Who do you think will be like legitimate medium to full time NHLers next season? I think Lucas Reichel will be on that list, and I think Ian Mitchell will be on that list, and I think. Alex Vlasic will be on that list because the organization seems to be very high on Alex Vlasic. What about the rest of you?
Vlasic's not a Rockford Ice.
Yeah, he is a Boston.
He never played a game down there.
Okay, well, yeah. But the point being that I don't think Alex Vlasic's going to spend any time in Rockford because they seem to be very content. I would agree with you, but it feels like the Hawks are going to put him at the NHL.
Unless he puts on like 20 pounds.
Oh, hey, I told you. I told him, have his agent reach out to me. He can meet me in the buffet line, and we'll put that 20 pounds on.
Just send him a bunch of squeegees.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Wyatt Kalinuk has a shot, but I think he'll start down there.
I'd say set the over-under, let's call it 50 games. What Blackhawks prospects do you think will play over 50 games in the NHL next season?
Derek King.
He's going to play?
We need him.
You said Josiah Slavin, I think I heard you say. Okay.
One, they like him, but two, he's the type of player that they should be honing into a really good fourth liner.
I could get on board with that. Shay, what about you?
Isaac Phillips.
No.
No, not yet.
Bet you just no. I think it's coming. Season.
Oh,
yeah, I think it's coming for him.
I love him. In fact, I kind of like his. I think he might have the best like true legitimate NHL player potential of most of the guys in there. Like I think Regula and Ian Mitchell could have higher ceilings, but like he's got the lowest floor. If that makes sense. He's just really young and he's good. He went from being played a lot in the bottom to being Mitchell's partner for the, like from the halfway mark onward. And did an excellent job of it. And they're just, I don't want them to rush him. They're like, I just feel like they've rushed too many players and there's no need to do that. You're guys that are older who they should at least see what they have with him. Now, if he came up and just amazed, then fuck yeah. But I don't want them to break any more players.
Brett Connolly.
Is he a prospect?
He is now.
is he under contract?
Yeah.
He is now.
Isn't he here? I feel like
maybe. I think he has one more.
I can't remember. I think it was a three. Yeah, he's got one more year. All to get Borgstrom, guys.
All to get Borgstrom, exactly.
I guess Stillman too, but like, come on.
No.
Though, to be fair, Brett Connolly in Rockford was very good and probably a great mentor to have.
No kidding, because he's my guy.
All right. This is a fun one from Io Jim. I enjoy the premise of this one, so let's see where it goes. Who's going to win more cups by the end of their career? Jonathan Toews, not Devon, Crosby, McDavid, or Connor Bedard? Toews and Crosby are tied.
Yeah.
I have an interesting answer to this, but I'll let you guys go first.
I think it's going to be a tie between Crosby and Toews because I don't know if Crosby is going to win.
Is going to win another one? Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on if he's going to stay really loyal to the Pens or not. I know he's got like three more years left. So I don't know if he'll jump ship for like a fourth cup anytime in that period or right after, even though he'll still play exceptionally well. I don't know if the Pens will get there in those.
Yeah. Here's the thing about the Pens and Crosby is that like, if they let Malkin and Letang go, I think there's a chance he jumps, but that chance is increased substantially if the Avs don't win the Stanley Cup this year.
I think he's still too good that Pittsburgh will do everything in their power to not let him go. Like I know his contract comes up pretty soon, doesn't it? I feel like Crosby's going to stay in Pittsburgh and I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be good enough to win another cup in his tenure.
It's like the Patrick Kane thing with Chicago. Like it's whether or not he wants to stay with a team that's been his team because he could go to another team and potentially win. Like he probably,
well, that's,
jumped ship to the Rangers.
that's where I kind of lean towards Toews a little bit because I feel like Toews could leave Chicago and latch on somewhere as a third or fourth liner on like a really good team and then nab another cup or two before it's all done for him.
I say that Crosby and Toews tie at four because they're going to win one together.
That would be
where?
In Pittsburgh. Crosby's not leaving Pittsburgh.
If Toews let Malkin go, they'll need some help down the middle.
Toews won't go to Colorado like I thought because they're not going to their payroll's going to be fucked. Because they have like a million 22-year-olds are amazing. Yeah,
and like Toews isn't going to get $10.5 million again, but I also don't think he's going to take one.
I think he'll take five or whatever because if fucking Pittsburgh goes, hey, we're going to win and put you down the middle and do whatever. I mean, I'm kind of just making shit up in a dream world, but it could happen. Toews wants to compete, clearly.
I just don't think the Oilers, unless McDavid escapes Edmonton.
I love that you use the word escapes.
We have to break him out. Well,
it's like, if this is the year that Edmonton could win, because again, the Pacific was so terrible. Goaltending is like shitting the bed. And so if they can make it past Colorado somehow magically, the two teams in the East, if they could break their goalies, I mean, anything's
Hey, McDavid's only got three seasons left.
I just imagine the original ending of X-Files, but instead of Fox Mulder, it's fucking Connor McDavid.
Oh my god. There's a deep track. While we're all talking, the Rangers are up 4-2 on Tampa. And I'm confused.
Yeah, but if they go to the final somehow, I'm pretty sure Colorado could kick their ass.
Yeah. Well,
the most chaotic final would be the Oilers versus the Rangers, though. Like, I would have to root for the Rangers.
Yeah, but that'd be
the battle for Wayne Gretzky's affection.
That'd be the evil chaotic square on your chart, boys and girls.
Yeah,
that'd be the evil chaotic.
Yeah, the like we rode one player mostly, one in net, one on the ice, but like, whew.
For those playing along at home, that's a double gin and tonic.
All right, last one from JimL23 before we're going to get into some other people's questions. But this is, I enjoy this one. So just completely off the wall, outrageous prediction that has no chance of coming true. Likely something we will never talk about again. It'll be completely forgotten. But if by some miracle does come true, you look like a genius. Creativity encouraged.
In sports?
I'm guessing. I mean, if there's no specific reference, it's in the section of Blackhawks related and hockey related questions, but I mean,
well, I'm just going to ride out my Crosby and Taves thing.
I thought,
up in Pittsburgh.
I think that was an interesting one.
Just because I want to see it in the next 10 years, the Detroit Lions will win the Super Bowl.
There you go. Who's the quarterback? Not drafted yet?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Oh, so what you're saying is they're going to have a really good defense?
Yes.
Or he'll just swoon other defenses.
They'll have a really good defense, but also he'll have really, really elite wide receivers.
Okay.
They'll just catch anything that's thrown to them.
Betsy, did you have one?
I can't think of anything that's like super, like outside. I don't know.
The area that I'm trying to rifle through in my head is which former Blackhawk ends up as a coach.
Kane
Ebrook.
I think Kane will be a GM.
I'm gonna go off the board and I'm gonna say Johnny Oduya ends up coaching and maybe even the Blackhawks, because it goes back to conversation he had with Elliot Friedman on his podcast. Like, that sounds like a guy, like somebody in the NHL is probably already heard that and is like, get me Johnny Oduya as a coach, and he'll work his way up and become a head coach, and hopefully his beard is still as magnificent as it was when he played.
I mean, if St. Louis can step in with, he didn't have any coaching.
No, he was coaching his kids' pee wee team.
Yeah, somebody mentioned was like, well, because somebody also was like, hey, what about Hossa or Seabrook as a coach? And they were like, well, their kids are too young, and St. Louis' son I think is in college, so that kind of matters. But they're not that far off, Hossa and St. Louis in age.
Yeah, I guess it's just how old they were when they had their kids. Like, I remember Hossa like getting booped by his daughter, who was probably what, like two or three at the time. So probably wait until kids are older.
So many coaches had, like, the younger coaches have kids. I don't know, but I would love Hossa to be on the coaching staff. Can he impart his like
this defensive awareness?
Yeah, if this is my puck and you can't have it attitude, that would be great.
All right, so I'll go the extra mile. Then Johnny Oduya leads the Blackhawks to their next Stanley Cup, and Ed does it as the coach. So that'll be my ridiculous prediction.
Michael Jordan getting sucked down a golf hole by Bugs Bunny.
Now? I don't think they want that basketball ability now.
Betsy, did you land on one?
No, I have no.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll pause that for you if you think of one before we break.
It should be I win the Masters.
All right, I think we got most of the question, the Blackhawks related ones. So again, thanks to everyone who asked. Let's do a food take one, and I wanted to roll over to frequent commenter DevilDog29, who had a hot take to offer for us to discuss. And Bessie, I think you saw this one. Well, yeah, I know you did because you responded to it. So here's the hot take, is that chefs are getting out of control making food that used to be considered lower class, for example, fajita meat, street food, etc. Ordered a charcuterie board at a well-known Michigan Avenue restaurant once. I'm sort of here's some guidelines with chef choice when it comes to charcuterie. I've worked hard to enjoy some of the nicer things in life when it comes to food, but growing up was more of a make do with what you have and can afford, which was next to nothing. So back to the charcuterie. This is a very long question. So the server comes out and was talking about cheeses and meats. He gets the one meat that I can't remember the name of now, but I'm looking at it while he's trying to make it sound all foodie fancy. And finally, I'm like, motherfucker, I grew up poor as fuck and I know head cheese when I see it. So yeah, it was fancy head cheese. So I guess the food take is that they're taking like high-end restaurants or like skimping out on like lower class foods or something. You know about this, so please elaborate.
Yeah, it's something that comes up on Top Chef a lot because it's about like really high-end chefs taking street food, comfort food, poor food, whatever you want, like, and a lot of southern food falls into this, like mac and cheese, you know, like, and they're taking it and they're putting it on their menus and either
gourmet mac and cheese. I got you.
Yeah, but they're not, sometimes they're not, in his point, he's saying they're not necessarily making it fancy. They're using stuff that, you know, cause he was like, I know what a head cheese is, bro. It's not, they're not necessarily making it that fancy, but they're still I assumed it was they're still charging it as that and that kind of thing. Cause when
street
is done well at an elevated level, it's amazing and should be done. But when you're doing what street vendors do, for example, but then putting a price tag on it that's like three times as much, that's
yeah.
And oftentimes the street vendor people are doing a better job at it. Like they're just better at it. A perfect example is again, Top Chef. There's a restaurateur here in Atlanta called Kevin Gillespie. And on his season, the two Voltaggio brothers, especially the guy that ended up winning, were like, you know, super fancily trained, did all kinds of high-end stuff, gastronomy, blah, 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 blah. And one of them always talked down about Kevin's food, like, that's the stuff I make in my spare time. We kept winning. And it was like Southern comfort food, but like elevated with better products often, which that's why you can raise the price. But he has like five or six restaurants now in Atlanta and other places. But it's such an interesting, when street food is done well at high-end things, fine. But oftentimes you're going to find as good or better versions of that at the lower level anyway.
I think I would be on board with the point, like if you go to a restaurant and they bring out like, you know, if it's a grilled cheese sandwich at a high-end restaurant and it's not anything like high-quality bread or cheese or anything, I'd be pissed off too. The best example I could think of.
Yeah, even if it is high-end bread and cheese, it's got to be worth the price and better than some of the low-end stuff because sometimes low-end is better.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So I guess what's the overall theme is quit trying so damn hard. Like sometimes street food is just street food and let it go. I feel like there's some overlap here between my argument about regional foods. Like, you know, if you want deep dish pizza, go to Chicago. You want New York style pizza, go to New York. And like, I feel like trying to do those foods in other places, it doesn't work. Like go to the source and if you want high quality food, high end food, go to the fancy restaurants. If you want street food, go to the streets. Like, I guess I'm getting more on board with this and I'm talking myself deeper into this agreement. So
yeah, if you want a $2.75 taco that is better than any other taco you've ever had, go to a hole in the wall restaurant.
Exactly. And I if you go to any restaurant that serves any sort of ethnic food, like the less quality the English speaking is, I feel like the better the food is.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see really quickly. Last one, S Savage 12, friend of the program, Steve. One beer / beverage recommendation and one album recommendation from everybody. I'll go first real quick. The album I'm going to throw out is it's Brave Faces, Everyone by Spanish Love Song. It came out just before the pandemic started, and that's all I've been listening to for like 2 years. If you're into like the poppy punk world, that's fantastic. And then a beer. You know what? I've been drinking Rusty Nails. It's Scotch and Drambuie, which I don't know. I've really enjoyed them. So there's my recommendation. Who's next?
The album is called Fix Yourself, Not the World by the Wombats. Ooh, okay. Who are maybe my favorite band. And then the drink is Sex on the Beach. It sounds weird to order, but order it in the right place and it's a fantastic drink.
It's a good drink. I think every bartender should know how to make that. Like, I feel like it's a very commonplace thing. Mill, Betsy, either one of you want to hop in on this?
Sure. So the album I'll give is a brand new album that came out today. It's a band, No Pressure. It's a self-titled LP. It's excellent. I've listened to it several times, probably 5 times today. And, it's not very long. And, for a beverage, I've been drinking a lot of Milagro lately, but that's like more of a shot and a lime type of thing. But I'll roll with that. Drink some tequila, silver.
There you go. Betsy, we'll save you for the end.
So drink, I've been on a whiskey smash.
Okay.
Oh like, yeah.
Delicious. I'm trying to think of an album that I've listened to. I'm so much more of a, like, just listen to the radio and hope for the best.
Oh, that's risky.
Florence and the Machine's newest album is really good. Dance Fever. So.
Yep.
So go with that one. That's one that I have multiple songs from.
I listened to that yesterday. Somebody sent it to me.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, always Florence. Amazing.
There you go. All right. Oh, the other question Steve asked really quickly, I can answer. Is CM Punk Chicago's only champion for the next decade? Yes.
No.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, me too.
No, Bulls.
Oh, okay. There we go.
White Sox. Is Lee Moriarty from Chicago, or is that a different wrestler?
I have no idea. Yeah, I the Bulls before Sox at this point, but yeah, whatever. All right, well, I think we got to all the questions. We got to everything we needed to, so I think this is a good place to wrap up this year episode of Musings on Madison. Thanks to everyone again that sent in questions. Sincerely, I really appreciate everyone who did and anyone who's listened to the show over the last year. It wasn't much fun this last season, but hopefully we provided some level of entertainment during the course of it. I know we won't record next week, and then the week after that, I'm going to be lost in the wilderness of northern Minnesota, so we won't record then. We'll be back at some point, probably closer to the draft and free agency and all that stuff. Or maybe the Blackhawks will hire a coach and we'll come back and talk about that. Or I don't know. We'll be around. But thank you again for listening to this episode. Thanks to everyone for hanging out tonight. Mill is on Twitter at Mill182. Shepherd is at Shepherd Price. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find her at SecondCityHockey.com under the name LBR. I'm at DML57. The main account is at 2NDCityHockey. We still got some more player reviews and recaps coming down the way for the next few weeks. And then we'll slowly transition towards looking to the summer and off season and all that stuff coming up. So one final, sincerely, I really appreciate everyone who's listened to the show for the entire last season. This is kind of the end of us looking back to the last season. So yeah, we'll take some weeks off, figure out what the hell we're going to do next, and then come talk to you when we figure that out. See you then.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you, Tremfya, guselkumab, is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue, as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.